Bible says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were being separated from God, because of the love of God towards sinner, Jesus came. He died for you, he died for me. Not because of what I have done, not because of what you have done, not because I worth the death, but because of his love, because of his grace, sacrifice himself. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you because of today. The day that we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, because you died for us. Even when we were unworthy, yes, you saw something in us. You redeemed us. Thank you because of the complete work on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Father, because it's by this that we can say, Abba, Father. Thank you because of the grace that you have given unto us to be called your children. And you say you are not ashamed to be called our God. Thank you, Father, for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We thank you because of the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We thank you, Lord, because of the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, because you've taken power from Satan. Thank you, Father, because you have relocated us from the household of Satan to your own household. Thank you, Father, because by this we are here and co-heir with Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praises because of this privilege that we have in you. Take glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we go to your word this time, we pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are the divine teacher. I pray in the name of Jesus. You illuminate the hearts of your people to the understanding of your word in the name of Jesus. Cause the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight in the name of Jesus. Every word that will come out today, Lord, Father, it's going to be a word that is seasoned with salt in the name of Jesus. The word of deliverance, the word of grace upon your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Today we are going to be talking about, or we will continue with the topic that we've started from the beginning of the month, which is divine completeness. Divine completeness. And we read Colossians 3 verses 1 to 17 as our text. But today, the topic that we are going to be talking about in particular is living as a complete person in Christ. Living as a complete person in Christ. That is what we will be talking about. Last week, I spoke about the complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And starting with the background to the book of Colossians. Why the Colossians was written. What are the reasons for that? And the key theme in the book of Colossians is what we have in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Talking about, can you just project it, please? Colossians 2:10, which is at the back of our bulletin. Colossians 2:10. It said, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of every power and authority. Can I have another version, please? And NKJV says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. So last week specifically, we talked about the completed work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, how Jesus came to the world, how he made himself. He subjected himself to human nature that you and I will be saved. How he completed that through the resurrection. On Friday, by the grace of God, we watched the Passion of Jesus Christ. And those of us that were here, you will testify to it. That indeed, Jesus Christ died. He suffered. It got a time every head was bowed. looking at the kind of suffering that Jesus suffered, not because of what he has done, but because of our salvation. He paid it all. And before he died, he said something. He said, "It is finished." And that is it. It is finished. That is, it is complete. I have done everything that needed to be done for your salvation. And to cap it all, the celebration of today, on the third day, what happened? He rose again. And that is what made Jesus different from any other prophet that you will talk about. Yes, they came, they proclaimed God, but they died never to rise again. But Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. And it is on that you and I are seated today. Because we have what? We have hope of heaven. But that hope is only for those who have known Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So the topic I'm going to be talking about today is for those who have accepted Jesus. But if there's anyone in this auditorium that you are still thinking about it, you've been to church for many years, or even for a few years or few weeks, today is your day. Tomorrow may be too late. Because what we are going to be talking about now may not concern you if you are not in that household. And the time is still here. God is still stretching his hand. And he's still saying, "My son, my daughter, this is your appointed time. I want you to come to me." And I pray in the name of Jesus that as many of us as have not accepted Jesus, if there's anyone here today, that God will find you in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Last week, when I was talking, I said that our good work or our good deeds is not a prerequisite to salvation. That it's not because of what you have done or what you are doing that will earn you salvation. I said it's because Jesus had paid it all. It's because he decided to pay it all. But today we are going to talk about the fact that now that you are saved, you are saved to good work. Do you get it? There's no contradiction. You are not saved by your good work, because the Bible says in the book of Romans that you are saved by grace, not of work, let any man boast. But now that you are saved unto good work. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 established that. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good work." So you are not saved because of your work, but you are saved unto good work, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. That is to say that after salvation, each of us is expected to have a Christ-like life. What is the life of Christ that I'm talking about? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38. It says, "Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." And my emphasis there is Jesus going about doing good. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3 that we read. Colossians 3 that we read. We already know that Paul was the author of Colossians. So, after Paul had established in chapter 2 that believers are complete through the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, now in chapter 3, he started to establish the kind of life that Christians should live. Now that today we are saying Jesus is alive, is risen, and he's gone to the Father. But before he went, he's given every of his children a mandate. How am I to live a Christ-like life? How should I be little Christ? You know, Christian means little Christ, little Christ. Meaning that I need to live like that Christ. And as I said, that is what we are talking about. Living as a complete person in Christ. Praise the Lord. And from verses 1 of that chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul said, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Because when we were born again, you are raised with Jesus Christ. Raising us from the power of Satan and taking us to the house of his Father. Now, Paul said, now that you've been raised with Christ, we should set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We should not set our hearts on earthly things. He said, because we've died to our sins, and our life is now hidden in who? In Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ appears, then we will appear with him in glory. I pray this will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. But he says something. He said, as Christian, from verse 5, we want to live full Christian lives. We need to do some things. And he said, put to death, therefore, every of those points up onto verse 12. Put to death every of those. Sorry. He said, put to death earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Put to death all those things. You know, sometimes in this country, it doesn't matter. Girlfriend, boyfriend, they can be living together, having sex. And they still come to church, raising holy hand. If man doesn't see you, God is there. We are to put to death anything that is immoral, any sexual acts, marriage. I mean, sex is for marriage. Should be within marriage, not outside of marriage. Put to death. If you say you are born again, live like a born again person. Let people know you. Let people know that you are different. Paul was saying, every immoral life, every sexual urges, God will deliver us. You will have many people, young people, that will say, it doesn't matter anyway, everybody is doing it. Yes, everybody may be doing it. It doesn't mean you should do it. Others may, you cannot. Wide is the road that leads to perdition, but narrow is that road that leads to heaven. Many people are trodding that road that is very wide, and they want to take as many people with them. But to live a complete life in Jesus Christ, you need to live like Jesus Christ. And one of the ways by which we need to live like Jesus Christ is putting away everything that can serve as hindrance to your completeness in Jesus Christ. And one of them is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Greed, I want everything. I want everything. And as a result of greed, you don't know. Envy will set in. Jealousy will set in. And it can lead to murder. It can lead to anything you talk about. Living as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, do not lie to each other. Do not lie to each other. God will help us. God will deliver us. Little foxes that destroy the vine. Little lies. It doesn't matter anyway. Nobody will know. Yes, nobody will know. Nobody may know that you are lying, but God is there. And you want to live like Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, though he lived like us, he never sinned at all. No little lie. But we look at ourselves, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just putting one after the zero, or putting zero and a zero and a zero after just one is zero. Or among friends, it doesn't matter. Just little lie. Yes, I will be there. You are not there. It's a lie. Praise the Lord. Because you know you will not be there. But you say you will be there. That's a lie. And you know what? God doesn't have any grade for sin. The same category that he puts somebody that kills a person is the same category we put somebody that lies. So there's no category in heaven. Sin is sin. And God is telling us this morning that we should put away all this. Put away lies. Some of us, we lie to our parents. They are not here. Maybe you need money for just one textbook. And that textbook, you divided it into so many so that you have pocket money for yourself. And you say, ah, mommy, you know what? They asked me to bring money for Lexus, is it dictionary? And they have me to bring another money for Thesaurus. And they have me to bring another money for, and you know, it's just only one textbook you need. Why don't you say, I need this amount of money? Even if your mom or your dad could not afford it at that particular, pray along with them and pray that God, even before you tell them, pray, tell God that God will speak to their heart. Putting away all lies, little lies, even things between husband and wife, little lies. You know the reason why you are calling that person, but when your wife asks you, huh, why do you call that person? Oh, you don't know her. She was my colleague and this. Or the other way. Little lies. In the finance. Darling, why do you spend that money? I forgot to tell you. I thought I told you. You know you didn't tell her. Or you didn't tell him. Little lies. You know, all those things, they look very small. They look like things that you don't bother about. But to God, they really matter. God will help us in the name of Jesus. He said, do not lie to each other. Because you have taken off your old self. You have put on the new self. You are renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And from verse 12, it says, therefore, do something. Therefore, do something. And that is where we are going to base our emphasis majorly today. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness. Clothe yourself with humility. Clothe yourself with gentleness. Clothe yourself with patience. Bear with each other. Forgiving each other. Forgive as God forgave. So, take some things off. Put some things on. Praise the Lord. Now, I said, how are we going to live a complete life in this corrupt world? How are we going to live a complete life in this corrupt world? And in addition to what we have in Colossians 3 from verses 12, my first point that I put down is we need to live as a complete person in Christ by conducting ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ through our actions. Conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ through our actions. And then we've talked about what to put off, what to put on. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 verses 3 to 4, the Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It said rather in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Humility is very, very essential. The Bible says Jesus humbled himself. And that was why he can come to the world. He said he became man, he became flesh, so that we have that access to him. I mean, if Jesus were to be in his glorious position, I don't know how many of us we have access to him. Because you just see the glory. Look at, none of us can go outside and directly we want to look at the light. The glory of Jesus is more than that of the sun. The glory of Jesus is more than that of the sun. But in order to be able to come to our level, he humbled himself. He came down. And in the same way, the Lord is saying, if you want to live as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to put on humility. No matter how much you have in your accounts, should not dictate the way you live. You should not say, oh, because I have all the, is it trillion they are using now in Nigeria, or millions of pounds, and you want to live like that. No. No. Because our life is not measured by what we have or what we don't have. The Bible says in that Colossians 3 we read that our life is already hidden in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus humbled himself, he came down, and our lives is they are hidden under him. Look at that humility. Let us humble ourselves. And in humility, we will consider other person better than ourselves, no matter their category, no matter their age. I may be very, very brilliant, very intelligent. And I may have a Dunland friend. The Bible says, I should consider that friend better than I do. Why? Because I'm not the owner of that wisdom that I have. The intellect that has been given to me is from God. Therefore, help the other person. That is the responsibility. It's not a chance that you are friend. It's not a chance that God decided to bring you together. It's because God has seen something in you and he wants to make use of that thing to help other person. How will people know that you are a Christian? If you do not extend to other people the love of God, whether they are Christians or they are not Christians now. And one way we can do that is humble yourself, help as many people as God has placed on your way to help. God will help us in the name of Jesus. In Colossians 4, verse 6, Colossians 4, 6, the Bible says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be full of grace. In other words, put away anger. Don't be arrogant. Yes, you don't know if I'm not there. Nobody is going to be able to solve that problem. Nobody will be able to do anything in this company. I have to be there. I have to put mouth. Who give you that power? It is God. And the Lord that has given the power is able to withdraw the power. If you don't know any other person in the Bible, you will know Nebuchadnezzar. We know the story. He was a powerful king. God gave him everything that he needed. He conquered nations. And one day he woke up and he said, look at these kingdoms that I already built for myself. It is by my own power I built it. And the voice came from heaven and said, Nebuchadnezzar, because today you have ascribed unto yourself the glory that belongs to God, you are going to go to the bush. And you'll become like a cow. And you'll be eating grasses. And 7 years you'll be there in the bush. And it happened. Now, if God can do that to Nebuchadnezzar, do you think he cannot do it to anybody? Yes, he is God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not become like a cow in Jesus' name. In 1 Peter 2:12, the Bible says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they even accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. And when they see your good deeds, they will be able to glorify God. 1 Peter 2:12. Even when people want to accuse you wrongly, because it happens, you have not done anything wrong, people will just hate you for hating you. But the Bible says, even if you have anybody at all that want to hate you because they just look at your appearance, you've not done anything, they just say, I hate her. I hate him. And you know in this country, it's very common. If they hate you, they will say they hate you. They might smile. But when they hate you, we know they hate you. The Bible says, even when they hate you, for no reason of what you have done, it said, do good. Do good. When people look at your skin color, and because of that, they just say, I don't want her in this office. and you start walking, and they look at your walk, even the problem they could not solve for years, you start solving it, they say, oh, let us reconsider this woman or this man. Oh, I think he's a good asset for this company. Oh, in the school, yes, I know this girl. She's very, very brilliant. I know she can do it. Good work. And by so doing, they may not know that God you are serving, but they will know something is different in you from what they are. And that is living a complete life in Jesus Christ. And that is what God is expecting us to do. Live completely as a child of God. Another point is putting on the whole armor of God. Remember, we are talking about how to live a complete life in Christ. By putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, from verses 10 to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. We have discussed this excessively in the Bible study, but I'll just quickly read through. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil, against the devil's schemes. For our struggle as Christians is not against flesh and blood, but is against the rulers, is against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Said, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, take note of that word, it's not if the day of evil comes, it's when it comes. The day of evil do comes. It do comes. But God says, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from faith, or from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil ones. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. He said, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the lost people, putting on the whole armor of God, not putting one and taking one off, putting everything, every time, battle ready, because we do not know when the day of evil will come. We are in the world. We are not of the world. And so we should live as one that is a stranger in this world. And that is how to live a complete life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another point is living a life of obedience. Living a life of obedience. We are talking about how to live as a complete person in Christ by living a life of obedience. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 5. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 5. 1 John 2, verses 3 to 5. It says, we know that we have come to him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. He said, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. So you are made complete in the Lord. You can walk as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ by obeying him. Obeying what? Obeying every of his commandments. And we've talked about those earlier. Putting on some things and putting off some things in order to be able to live as a complete person in Christ. In 1 John 5, 2 to 3, it says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his command. and his commands are not burdensome. The commandment of God, they are not burdensome. They are not tiresome. They are not something that, they are not heavy. I mean, Jesus even said, come to me, everyone that are working and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you what? I will give you rest. So obeying the commandments of God is like a rest. It's like holiday. It's like holiday. You know, I was talking to a boy recently. And the boy is 13 years. And the boy was telling me he met some people from Pakistan. Some people that have criminal record. And one of those people, they came to this country. And they put them in prison here. And the person was, after the person came out, that boy met the person. And the person was telling me that the other guy told him that, oh, prison over there is hell. But prison in Britain is holiday. You know, it's prison, no? But one is like hell. The other one is holiday. I mean, that was how the exact word that he used. And I said, holiday. Now, think about it. The burden that people will have when they are in the kingdom of darkness compared with the commandment of God that God asks you to keep now. Keeping the commandment of God is like holiday compared to if one is in the bondage of Satan. And that is why I'm employing everyone this afternoon that do whatever it takes to live like a free person in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody put you into any bondage. We read that last week in chapter 2. Don't allow yourself to be put under any bondage anymore. Live like a free person because Jesus has completed that work on the cross of Calvary. You don't have to carry the burden anymore. He is carrying it for you. He's carrying it for you. The Bible says, keep the commandment of God. If you want to live like a complete person, as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Another point is, by living a life of faith, now I'm not talking about saving faith. Saving faith has been accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say, I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, it is finished. But I'm talking about faith, another faith, living faith. Faith that we see Monte, and we say, this Monte, although I see you there, but I don't see you. Because of what? Because I have God that is greater than you, Monte. And I know I'm going to make it, whether you are there or not. Faith that can move in the midst of whatever circumstance that comes our way. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. Divine what this faith is. He said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. He said, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Said by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. Blood speaks. It said, verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. He said, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And the cap of it, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who will come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is very, very important. You know, people will say, how can I believe God? I've never seen that God. Yes, we have never seen God, yet you decide to believe. That is faith. The same way you will say, yes, how can I know that this chair will hold me? Can you just take this, please? This is a chair. But sitting on this chair and having the mindset that this chair will hold me, it takes faith. What if it does not hold me? And that is what God is saying. Having faith, though you do not see the clear picture, though you do not see the complete picture, but because you believe that somebody said it, and that person that said it has never lied, and that is God. Because the Bible says, let all men be liars, God will not lie. Because God has said it, I know and I believe it, it will come to pass. When? I do not know. Whatever circumstance, I do not know. But one thing I believe, because I have faith in him, I know he will make it through. I know this chair will hold me because I believe the company that made the chair, they made it to be able to withstand my kilogram. So I will not fall. Praise the Lord. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And to live a complete life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need faith. Many things will happen in the world. Circumstances that you do not even think of will happen in your life. Young children, young people that are growing up, life will not continue the way it is now. Now you have parents to depend on. A time is coming, you will be on your own. But if you have that faith, that though mommy is not there, daddy is not there, brother or sister are not there to take care of me, I have somebody who is greater than these people, and he will take care of me. He will surely do. He will surely do. Faith. To be able to live a complete life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need faith. I pray in the name of Jesus that faith we need, God will give us in the name of Jesus. Another point is, to be able to live a complete life in Jesus Christ, we need to stay away from sin. We've talked about that briefly in the first part of chapter 3 of Colossians. But I want to read from Romans 6 now. Now I have believed Jesus Christ. Now I am born again. Should I just live anyhow? No. For what? The Holy Spirit in you will not even allow you. And if you keep doing it, David says something. He said it's good to fall into the hand of God. But by the time God tortured him, I don't know if it's good or not. Because in the book of Hebrews says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. So if you say you have accepted Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and I do in me, and I want to live a life of sin, they don't go together, though. And when the Holy Spirit starts to handle the person, praise the Lord. Romans 6, 1 to 14 says, what shall we say then? Romans 6, 1 to 14. What shall we say then, brothers, sisters? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He said, by no means. He said, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. Verse 6. He said, for we know that our whole self was crucified with him, For we know that our whole self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sins. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, brethren, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Verse 14 says something. It says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are no longer under the law, you are under grace. Sin should not be our master. Grace that we are talking about should be grace that will take away sin from us. It's not that we have the grace we can live as we want. No. You have that grace in order to master sin, in order to be able to live above sin. Because the law says he has placed you higher than any power. You are seated with Jesus Christ. I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. So if I and you, or you and I, are seated in the heavenly places, which means every other things are beneath us, including sin, whatever desire you may call it. Which means we can master them. And I pray as we go, as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be able to live that kind of life in Jesus' name. The next point that I have, I'm going to hurry up because of the time, is to live a complete life, or like a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to live in complete health, complete freedom of good health and sound mind. Good health and sound mind. Isaiah 53 verse 6. Prophesy about the coming of Jesus Christ and talk about the suffering that Jesus went through, as we saw on Friday. The Bible says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wound, we were healed. Living a complete life of Jesus Christ means living in freedom in our mind and in our health. Now, what am I talking about? You discover that in this country, so many people are depressed. So many people are lonely. So many people are sick, anxiety everywhere. What will I eat tomorrow? God has taken care of that. You look at the rate at which people are committing suicide in this country, and you look at yourself. What is it that makes you different from them? It is Jesus Christ. And Jesus has bought that for every one of us. Be able to live in that freedom. When situation comes your way, that will put you in that stressful situation, just start to sing to God. The situation may not disappear, but the glory of God that will radiate your life will make you to think less of that situation. And by the time God takes care of the situation, you will not even be able to say anything but say hallelujah to God. So don't put your mind into that anxious situation that will make you to be depressed. Because there are many people in the psychiatric hospital in this country, and majority are black people. I pray you will not be one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, let's take care of our mind. Temptation will come. Satan will use everything to tempt you. Disappointment will come. It's bound to come. But when those situations come your way, just know that God is always there. God has not promised us problem-free life in this world. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. It said, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Affliction will come. Trial will come. Temptation will come. But in the midst of that all, let us pray for the peace of God. He has given the peace. But live in that peace. Tell the situation, yes, I know you exist, But I know you don't exist in my life. Why? Because Jesus has conquered. He has conquered. And he has completed that work on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, I can live a free person. I can live like a good person. I can live the way God wants me to live because I have Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Praise the Lord. Jesus has conquered sickness. Therefore, sickness will not dominate our life. When headache comes, when that sick situation comes, you can tell the sickness. You are still feeling the headache, but you say, headache, I know you are there, but I don't know you are there. Why? Because I have God who has conquered headache, who has conquered every kind of sickness. He was beaten 39 lashes. And the researcher find out that the different kinds of diseases in the world, they're actually different types, like 39. I don't know how far it's true because I didn't confirm it. But if it is, it means for one type of disease, Jesus had already paid for it. So if Jesus paid for cancer, you cannot have cancer. If he had paid for headache, you can't have headache. If he has paid for high blood pressure, you cannot have high blood pressure. And you tell God, God, I live in your healing. And so will it be in everyone in the name of Jesus. As many people as are going through one sickness or the other this afternoon, I proclaim in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, that healing is yours in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, which is the most, is also important like any other one, but I want to see it as very, very special to me. By living as an ambassador of Christ, taking his message to the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. By living as an ambassador of Christ, taking his message to the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to verses 19. The choir, when they were singing the other time, they said one of the reasons why Jesus saved us is that we will proclaim his name, that we will talk about him. And 2 Corinthians 17 to 19 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. He said, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. So Jesus had gone. He's no longer in the world, in the physical form. But you are, I am. I am a representative of Jesus. You are. Just like a representative of any other country, representative of Nigeria, of Kenya, of Ghana, or wherever, here in this country, they represent anything that our country stands for. In the same way, God has put us, Jesus has put us here as his ambassador. An ambassador will say everything good about the country that he's representing. That should be our position. We are here to serve. We are not here for ourselves. Yes, every other things. Oh, I want to have money. I want to have good houses. I want to have good cars. They are good, but they are just for this world. They are passing away. If we die, none of those things will be buried with us. But a time is coming when we are going to give accounts to that God, the Maker, the Savior, the one that has committed that work into our hand. God will ask us, what are you doing with it? It is high time that we take our position as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, proclaiming his word, proclaiming the message that he has given unto us. Yes, we have stayed in this mountain too long. We have sat wherever we are sitting too long. It is time for us, in our different places of work, at school, anywhere that God is giving us the opportunity. This is the opportunity that God is telling us to make use of. The time is ripe. Let's take the gospel. Terrorists everywhere, or terrorism everywhere. We never know when it will be our turn. But when that time comes and we step into the front of God and God opened that book, Your name is there, that you are saved, with date and every other thing. But will your name be there as someone that has won souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we bow our head? Shall we bow our head? Shall we talk to God this afternoon and say, God, including myself, God has given us, some of us, opportunities in the past that we wasted. Shall we tell God, God, I'm sorry for wasted opportunities, for wasted grace. Father, as from this moment you will help me, that I'm going to live as a complete person in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do away with anything that will be easily cling onto me. But I will live, Lord, the kind of life you want me to live in humility. You will help me, Lord, that I will proclaim your name. I will live as an ambassador of yours. Father, you will help me that in every situation, my life will be lived unto you, Lord. Father, you will. I come before you this afternoon, Lord. Please help me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because of this day. Thank you, Lord, because your word is yea and amen. Give you praises, Lord. Even as we go for the rest of our life, Lord, we'll not be guilty of this word that we had, Lord. I, as a speaker, will not be guilty. Everyone sitting will not be guilty. But Father, we will go out there and we'll make known your name to the nation. That when you, Lord, you come back, Lord, you'll be able to say, come into my kingdom, good servant, because you have done what I asked you to do. Father, this will be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you will help us, Lord, that we will not live a selfish life, but we will live a life of love. Love towards sinners that will help us to open our mouth to speak the gospel to them. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Pastor Demola has a